Now, people say, how can God allow these people to do such evil things? I can't believe in a God who lets those evil things happen. Well, he allows it to happen because he's saving people and not judging them right away. But every deed will be judged. No one will get away with anything. And he even takes the evil that is done and turns it for good.
Thanks for joining us for this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today we'll venture into an area that may make some people uncomfortable.
Yes, we will, Dave, but being uncomfortable about what we'll see today is very important so that one might find the true solution to man's problem. Okay, with this in mind, let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 7 as we begin.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, most of you know, but some of you may not know, that I used to be a corporate pilot, and that was my trade, in a sense, before the Lord called me to preach his word, and I have a son who's a pilot also, and so I still stay very active in aviation and thinking about things, and there's one of the things that we look at are crash investigations, not because we have a morbid fascination, but that we want to not do what happens. And, you know, lately there's been a rash of very high-end planes flying into thunderstorms and then crashing. There was one that came from New York a couple weeks ago with a family on it, with a grandpa who was flying. They flew directly into a thunderstorm. The plane broke apart, and they all died. Tragic. Now, the reality is our decisions have consequences, whether it's in flying, whether it's as you drive your car. Sometimes those consequences don't come upon you right away. But inevitably, certain things, there will be consequences, such as flying into a thunderstorm. You may get away with going around it or thinking you're doing it for many years, but that day you actually fly into it, that's the day that you meet your maker. And the reality is that there are some things, some decisions that we cannot avert the outcome, that the outcome, the end, will be there. Now, when it comes to judgment and God's judgment, we cannot avert that. It is appointed once to die and then the judgment. For those who have not been saved through faith in Jesus Christ, when you pass away, you will enter into torment and then judgment. You can't change that. There is no averting it. The end will be there for you. It is done. And the reality is, the Lord God is a very patient God, but when he declares the end is the end, it is the end. Now, we're going to see today, and as you turn in your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 7, that the end is here. The end is here for the Jews who claimed the name of the Lord, but yet had mixed their idols with the Lord and were living in idolatry, listening to the voices of false prophets, that the end is here and there's going to be no averting it. No averting it. You think you can hold off and maybe come to the Lord later? Well, when that end comes, it's too late. We see in the rich man and Lazarus what the Lord Jesus told. The rich man died. And he opened his eyes in torment, And there was no changing that. For him, the end was there and waiting judgment. So turn your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 7, and we're going to see this second half of when God's patience runs out. Now, again, we've been studying the book of Ezekiel, and as I've mentioned many times, when the Israelites were coming into the land about 1405 B.C., Moses, inspired by the Spirit, was given the law the second time, Deuteronomos, and he shares it, and we have that in our scriptures. And within that, we see within the covenant relationship that Israel had made with the Lord, that if they obeyed, they would be blessed. If they disobeyed, they would be cursed. And part of that cursing would be an eviction from the land that God was bringing them. They were coming into the promised land. God was giving it to them as he had promised. But yet, if they were to be unfaithful, he would evict them from the land. and it would be violent, and it would be horrifying, as we read in Deuteronomy 28. Now, Israel continued to spiral. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes after they entered the land. We see even when the kings came, they sought a king after their own desire, was Saul. We see that one king after another, apart from a few, such as David and Josiah, such as a few, they continued to sin. And the northern kingdom went into captivity. And then we have the southern kingdom, Judah and Jerusalem, left with some scattered Jews throughout the land, as we'll see today. Now, with that in mind, at 605 B.C., after God warning over and over again for some 800 years, that's pretty patient, I'll tell you that, that's pretty patient, 800 years, warning them to repent through the prophets. But they killed the prophets and they stoned the prophets. And so after warning them, we see that God brought forth and allowed Babylon to siege Jerusalem in 605. And that's when Daniel and his three friends were taken. Then in 597, it was under siege again. And that's when Ezekiel and 10,000 were taken. And then 5 years into that captivity, we have the book of Ezekiel beginning, as we're in right now. And then in 588 to 586 B.C., there was an 18-month siege, a brutal siege in which the inhabitants of Jerusalem would starve and would turn to cannibalism, as God said they would, in the horror of the wickedness and the consequences of their sin as they were sieged by Babylon. Now, this siege ended with their final exile and the destruction of the temple, looting of it, destruction of it, and the walls torn down. Now, the three deportations, and the book of Ezekiel is three sieges and three deportations. And the book of Ezekiel is centered around the third and final siege, the first 24 chapters, which we're in right now, prophecies or oracles leading up to the siege, 25 through 32 prophecies during that 18-month siege, and then 33 and on, prophecies after the siege. Now, Ezekiel is in captivity. He is in Babylon, and he is prophesying to a captive people concerning the sins of those who are soon to be judged by God in an awful siege, in which many will be killed, and the remaining will be brutally taken captive. And yet those in Judea are still in grievous sin. They're still listening to the voices of false assurance, of false prophets. And so we come to the book of Ezekiel. We saw that Ezekiel saw in chapter 1 visions of God. He saw God on the throne, that he is the one coming in the storm from the north, which represented the Babylonians coming to bring his judgment upon his people. And we saw the Lord on the throne above the expanse, above the cherubim and the wheels, directing everything perfectly at his command. And we saw Ezekiel fall down to worship, and then the Lord lifted him up and began to commission him. And we saw that his commissioning had three elements. You need to listen to God's word. People want to go to ministry and they never listen to God's word. You got to hear his word first. You got to be in the word of God. And then going where he sends you. And for Ezekiel, it wasn't some far off place. It was to his own people in Babylon. And then speaking what he says, allowing him to strengthen you. And then after that, we saw Ezekiel sitting among the exiles for 7 days, and the word of the Lord came to him again. He was appointed a watchman. He was to warn the people for God, and if he did not warn them, their blood would be on his hands. But if he did warn them, and they didn't respond, the blood was on them. But if they did respond, they were spared. And then we saw Ezekiel was to go out to the valley, and he obeyed the Lord and saw the Lord of glory standing there, and he appointed him in a sense, and he told him that he would be dumb. He would not be able to speak, but when he does speak, he could only speak the word of God. And then we saw in chapter 3 the signs of judgment, those signs that revealed Israel would be judged. They would be seized, they would be judged. And then we saw that judgment was inevitable. Now, in last week's message in chapter 6, we saw the reason for God's wrath. Certainly their idolatrous hearts, which had broken the heart of God. We saw the person of the living God with a heart broken over his people turning to idols. And the Lord is broken over his people's sin. And we saw that being righteous and just, that he must bring forth his judgment that he had predicted in Deuteronomy. And now we come to chapter 7, where we see the end is here. You know, and I'm tempted, you know, as I'm studying each week, well, should I preach something else? This has been pretty downer for the last 3 weeks. It's pretty downer. Lord, what do you want? What do you want, Lord? And just keep being led back to continue to preach through this because it is God's word. And we need to understand, as from a believer's standpoint, what we've been saved from. And for those who are saying they have faith and not, they need to hear that the end is near. They need to be on the alert to not fall into judgment, as we'll say. So this is a long chapter, 27 verses. I'm not going to read through it as we usually do, but we're going to walk through it. And it is it's a narrative, so we're not going to pick apart every word in this, but we're going to walk through it. And we're going to see, first of all, the prophecy against the land, okay? Verse 1, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, and you, son of man, thus says the Lord God to the land of Israel, an end. No, and I marvel as I read through this, I'm like, God was warning them over and over again. People say, God is, I said this last week, God is silent, he doesn't speak. Yes, he just speaks. He's speaking all over the place. Go into his word. He's sharing very clearly what he's going to do. He says, an end. The end is coming on the four corners of the land. Now the end is upon you, and I shall send my anger against you, and I shall judge you according to your ways, and I shall bring all your abominations upon you. For my eye will have no pity on you, and nor will I spare you, but I will bring your ways upon you, and your abominations will be among you. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Our text begins with the term moreover, which is really comes from the translation of a vav consecutive with a hayah, which basically means the narrative is continuing. This is moving from the last chapter to this chapter, and you can almost translate it and also, or moreover. And so, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, so it came to Ezekiel, right? And you, son of man, thus says the Lord God to the land of Israel, an end. So again, God's word came to him, and then we have the son of man, again, pointing to the reality of who he is. He is a human being. He is flawed. He is dependent upon the Lord. Son of man, it says, thus says the Lord God to the land of Israel, an end. An end. Yahweh Elohim, the Lord God, the great I am, the God, the majestic Lord. And what does he say here? He's speaking to the land of Israel, to the land of Israel. Ezekiel is to prophesy to the land of Israel. Remember, he prophesied against the mountains in the last chapter, those areas in which they had done their wicked idolatry. And here he is saying to the land. And he says now in verse 2, an end. The end is coming on the four corners of the land. The end is coming on the four corners of the land. See this very clear statement. Very clear statement. An end. An end is coming to the four corners of the land. When you think of the end, what do you think of? You think of the end, right? It's not the beginning, it's not the middle, it's the end. An end. Says it twice, the end is coming to the four corners. The four corners, that's speaking of the entire land. It's the entire thing. And here we have this interesting, in verse 2, an end, it's very emphatic. Because in Hebrew, the verb structure, or the sentence structure is verb, subject, object. And whenever you have the object first or the subject first, that's an emphatic statement. And here it's end. It's coming. End. It's coming. And then how does describe this end that is coming upon you? Now the end is upon you, verse 3. And I shall what? Send my anger against you. Here is the end, right? And I shall judge you according to your ways. I shall bring your abominations upon you. Here we have three I shalls. I shall do this, I shall do this, I shall do this. First he says, I shall send my anger against you. You know, God is a righteous God. He is slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. It's been 800 years, and he's going to send his anger. And by the way, you can live your life in rebellion towards God, sticking your face in him. And he, yes, he has wrath every day, and he's angry, but he won't pour that anger out upon you until you die. And you will rightfully enter into his wrath. You will drink of the cup of his wrath, which he poured out on his son, which you could have been saved by. Don't wait till it gets to the end. And so here he says, my anger is against you. He is sending his holy righteous anger against Israel, the whole land, which really speaks of the people, as we'll see in a moment. the people that are indwelling the land. And notice, God is entirely fair. He is a right and true and just God. He says to them, according to their ways. He's not like the hot-headed dad who gets mad at his kids and reacts, way overreacts. You know, I remember a guy at our church years ago, his kid was goofing off, not a big deal, and he grabbed him by the back and lifted him up, and it was terrible. You know, it wasn't equivalent to what was being done. He wasn't actually instructing or disciplining or loving. That anger was way beyond. Now here, this is speaking of judgment, but God's judgment is according to, he says, to your ways. And he says, I shall bring your abominations on you. And again, 800 years, he's warned them year after year after year. You know, the reality is that God will judge his creation for every word and deed. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, this he will also reap. In God's scheme of things, which is the only scheme that counts and matters, man is accountable to God for his actions. We see that God in Scripture is a righteous judge. Not an unrighteous judge, but a righteous judge. Turn to Psalm 7. It's a righteous judge. Psalm 7, I'm going to start with verse 9. Oh, let the evil of the wicked come to an end. Amen, right? But establish the righteous. For the righteous God tries the hearts and minds. My shield is with God, who saves the upright in heart. God is a righteous judge and a God who has indignation every day. If a man does not repent, he will sharpen his sword. He has bent his bow and made it ready. He has prepared himself deadly weapons. He makes his arrows fiery shafts. Behold, he travails with wickedness and he conceives, that's the bag. He conceives mischief and brings forth falsehood. He has dug a pit, and hauled it out, and has fallen into the hole in which he made. His mischief will return on his own head, and his violence will descend upon his own pate. Your sins are going to come back to you in the context of God's righteous judgment. Turn to Psalm 96. Psalm 96, verse 9. Worship the Lord in holy attire. That means don't come and sin. Be clothed in the forgiveness that's in Jesus Christ. Be cleansed through confessing your sin. Come rightly. Worship in holy attire. He says there, tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all it contains. Let the field exult and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth, and he will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. People crying for equity, equity, equity these days. Well, they will get equity when God judges perfectly for everyone's sin. Do not be deceived. What a man sows, they will reap. God is a righteous judge. He is a righteous judge. And I remember a story back in the mid-2000s. There was a judge in Vermont, Judge Cashman, who didn't believe in punishment or restitution. And there was a girl who was molested from 6 years old to 10 years old, and he gave the molester a 60-day sentence. That is an unrighteous judge. That is an unrighteous judge. Unlike that man, Cashman, God is a righteous judge. A righteous judge. And he will judge perfectly according to man's ways. Every act will be brought into judgment. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And after speaking of the Solomon being a preacher seeking to find delightful words of truth and to write them correctly, they're all words given by one shepherd, God's word, or goads and masters of these collections, right, given by one shepherd. He says, beyond this, beyond God's word, by the way, that's what he's saying, Ecclesiastes 12:12. But beyond this, that's God's word, my son, be warned. Now, this is going to be hurtful for people who like books, but listen to this. The writing of many books is endless, and excessive devotion to books is wearying to the body. The conclusion when all is said and heard is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act into judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. And I'm not saying you can't read a book. It says excessive devotion. We should be devoted to the Word of God, right? To the Word of God. And here, he's saying when all is said and done, every act will be brought into judgment. Everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. And I praise God, my sins are covered. I praise God, my acts have been forgiven. I praise God that his son bore the penalty for my sins on the cross, because it's going to be uncovered, but it is on Jesus. And therefore, I'm righteous because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But for those of you who haven't come to Christ, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Matthew chapter 12, even our words will be judged. Look at Matthew 12:35. The good man out of the good treasure brings forth what is good, and the evil man, 12:35, out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. And I say to you, this is the Lord Jesus speaking, I say to you that every careless word men shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. For by your word you shall be justified, by your word you shall be condemned. Every word, every deed. Every word and every deed. It's pretty serious. Now people say, how can God allow these people to do such evil things? I can't believe in a God who lets those evil things happen. Well, he allows it to happen because he's saving people and not judging them right away. But every deed will be judged. No one will get away with anything. And he even takes the evil that is done and turns it for good. Turns it for good. He doesn't condone it, but he takes it and turns it for good. Now, who is this judge? We know God's the judge, but more specifically, who is the judge? Look at Acts 10. This is when Peter is preaching to the first Gentile convert. We see, first of all, that, well, I'll just read it for you. It says that God says, and he ordered us to preach, Acts 10:42, ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly testify to this one, speaking of Jesus. This is the one, speaking of Jesus, who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. Jesus has been appointed by God. God the Son is the judge. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all everywhere should repent.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Ezekiel. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close today's broadcast, your point was very clear.
Yes, it was, Dave, and that point is that someday God will judge, that God is patient, but there's a day when his patience will run out. You see, it is appointed man once to die and then the judgment, but yet, as we have seen and will see, Jesus Christ went to the cross. He bore our sins in his body on the cross. He took God's wrath upon himself. And if you're willing to turn to Jesus and believe in him, you will not enter into his wrath. You will not enter into God's judgment. But if you don't, there's a day where the end will come and you will find yourself being judged. Oh, friend, don't let that happen. Turn to Jesus now.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.